For our scripture reading, we actually have a video. It's a song by the band Ghost Ship that's based on Job 38 through 41. If you're familiar with the book of Job, Job is this really, really great guy. And he loves God. He serves God. And Satan comes and he says, Job only loves you because everything's going right for him. And so God agrees to allow Satan to torment him or to take everything away from him. And you get through the whole book of Job, and finally Job says, God, I need an answer. I need to know what's going on. And God gives him the answer by going to his creation. So we're going to see a little bit of that today in the video, and then we're going to talk about it some more in just a moment. All right?
I said, God, I do not understand this world. Everything is dying and broken. Why do I see nothing but suffering? God, I'm asking, could this be your plan? Sin has taken hold of this whole land. Will you not say anything else to me? He said, where were you the day that I measured? Sunk the base and stretched the line.
Love that song. If you have your Bibles, you want to turn them to Job 38. We won't be there too long, but it's kind of cool to see, like, you get just a taste of all of the things God calls out when he's talking to Job. Like, that's just a small subset. And Job 38 to 41, he goes on and on and on. We're going to look at it just a little bit. But we're in the Summer Fun series, okay? So what we've been doing, we spent some time talking about the Bible and how to read the Bible, and we call that special revelation, right? That's God speaking directly. It's in theology, it's the special revelation of God to us. We go to the Bible, we have his words, it's sufficient for us. But we also have general revelation where God speaks to us in other ways besides just the Bible, all right? So last week, Rob talked about food and a theology of feasting. What does it look like for us to interact with food in a way that that God intends, in a way that that honors him as creator and provider and sustainer? And how does God reveal himself then through our feasting? What kind of God do we serve if he's a God who wants us to feast? Okay, so God is revealing himself through that. And so today we're going to see that God uses natural creation to help us trust him. All right. So here, God is going to reveal himself through natural revelation, and he's going to help us trust him. So that's our big idea. It's nice and simple. Kiddos, can you repeat it after me? It's up on the TV. All you kiddos, if you can read, let's say it together. Are you ready? God uses natural creation to help us trust him. Let's do it one more time. Ready? God uses natural creation to help us trust him. All right, so we want to talk about how he does that. And so adults, I want to give you just kind of a conceptual framework to deal with like a lot of the things that we're going to be talking about in this sermon and also some others. And the idea is the idea of an immanent frame. Okay, so this is probably kind of weird. If you've read any Charles Taylor. I haven't read Charles Taylor. I'm not smart enough to read Charles Taylor. I've read books about Charles Taylor. And he talks about this idea of an immanent frame. And the idea is we have this box that we've put our world in, and we shut out anything that's not natural. All right. So Rob talked last week about this dichotomy between physical and spiritual. And in our secular Western mindset, we have this box. We say, here's everything that is physical and natural, and we're shutting out anything that's supernatural. Okay? It doesn't exist. It's not part of our framework, and we have our box. That's our immanent frame, is what Charles Taylor calls it. And what ends up happening is we have these experiences that cause us to bump up against the immanent frame. I have this experience of transcendence that doesn't make sense inside of my little immanent frame here. There are things that feel too big for my box, right? I go to the mountains and I see the beauty and I stand there and I'm overwhelmed, and it doesn't fit into this box nice and neatly, okay? So kiddos, let's talk about that. What are some, let me ask you this. It's summertime right now, right? Everybody, you're all out of school, right? You've been out of school for about a month or so. Has anybody gone on vacation anywhere? Where have you gone on vacation? Anybody gone on vacation? Julia, where have you gone on vacation?
To the elder cabin.
To the elder cabin. Yes, us, all of us elders. I love that she calls it the elder cabin. That's fantastic, right? So we go to Jefferson right by Fairplay, and it's beautiful, and we ride four-wheelers, and we hang out together, and it's a transcendent experience. Olivia, where did you go? I know where you went.
Ocean City, Maryland.
Ocean City, Maryland. What was your favorite thing there?
Surfing.
Surfing, yes. That's awesome. When God talks about the bigness of his creation, he talks about, did you tell the ocean where to stop? Did you set the border for it? And you go out to the ocean and it's this massive, massive body of water that you can't wrap your mind around, right? Strider, how about you? Where'd you go?
To Polly's Island.
To parties. Polly's Island. Yeah, you went with your family there in South Carolina, right? What kind of things did you do there?
We fighted waves.
You fought waves. Awesome. Kind of like surfing, right? Maybe it just didn't go as well. Yeah. Abriata, where did you go?
I got to the ocean to the lake.
You went to the ocean to the waves. Yeah, did you like the waves or were they scary?
They knocked me down on a wave.
I know.
They knocked me down. Yeah, she took her first couple steps into the ocean, just got whacked. Yeah, it wasn't a great experience. She wouldn't go back either. Lucy, where did you go on vacation, Lucy?
Buena Vista.
Buena Vista. I love that area, like Buena Vista, Salida, Pagosa Springs. Oh, is that yours? Do you want to say it too? How about you? Where'd you go?
Buena Vista.
Buena Vista. Yes, you went to Buena Vista too. It's like, it is just awe-inspiring beauty down there, right? So when we talk about these transcendent experiences, we do this on a regular basis. We need to get away from our current circumstances and go and be somewhere that is transcendent for us, right? Where it's bumping us up against that imminent frame where the supernatural and the natural feel like they come together. And in fact, Charles Taylor says that's the problem, is that we're creating a dichotomy. We're saying here's the natural and here's the spirit, the supernatural. And the secular mind, the unbeliever or the atheist, will say there's no such thing as supernatural. And our natural reaction is to accept those terms and say, yes, there is. There's a natural and then there's also a supernatural, when in reality, all of it is fused together, right? God's immanence, his transcendence, it transcends everything. So when you go to the mountains and you see physical objects, you are also having a spiritual experience. Do you understand that? There is no dichotomy there. You don't have to say, this is natural, this is supernatural. They flow in and out of each other, and you can't really have one without the other. All right. So what is God teaching us from nature? We heard about kids going to the ocean, and sometimes it's scary a little bit, right? Yep. We talked about the mountains in Buena Vista at the Elder Cabin, which is the new term for it now. It's not the party house. It's the Elder Cabin, which probably is better anyway. But here's a couple things that God is teaching. I want to be really short today, so I have two things that God is teaching us. The first thing, God is big, okay? God is big, and God demonstrates his power when we feel hopeless or helpless, okay? God demonstrates his power when we feel hopeless. All right, kiddos, can you say that with me? Everybody look up at the TV. We're going to say it together. I'm going to quiz you at the end, so let's see if you can get this, all right? We're going to say that second part. Ready? God demonstrates his power when we feel hopeless. Let's do it one more time. God demonstrates his power when we feel hopeless. Okay, those are the two words I want you to remember. Power. God demonstrates his power when we feel hopeless. Okay, so we watched that video that was based on the book of Job. So Job feels hopeless, right? Everything has gone wrong. He can't figure out what's going on. And he comes to God and he says, God, what are you doing? So what does God do? He points out the grandeur of creation. He goes on and on and on. And if you read it, he's like, where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? He goes on, who shut in the sea with doors when it burst out from the womb? Have you commanded the morning since your days began? Have you entered the storehouses of snow? And he starts listing all of these big things. And Job's like, you're right. And God's like, nope, I'm not done. And he describes these creatures, all right? Do I have any dinosaur experts in here? Any dinosaur experts? Strider, come here, bud. Strider's my resident dinosaur expert. Strider, what's the biggest dinosaur you can think of?
Spinosaurus.
Spinosaurus.
Spinosaurus is the biggest dinosaur in the whole entire world, actually.
It's the biggest dinosaur. Okay, can you describe the Spinosaurus for us? A big sail on its back. Okay, cool. What else? What else does it have?
It has sharp claws on its feet.
Sharp claws on its feet. Man, that's scary. Anything else? What about its teeth? Anything about its teeth?
His teeth are so sharp to eat fish and other carnivores.
Okay, so is it a carnivore or an herbivore or omnivore?
Do those omnivore.
It's an omnivore. I was worried I was going over his head. He got it. It's an omnivore. Nice. Okay, so let me ask you this, Strider. If we walked outside and a spinosaur started walking down the street, do you think you could tackle it?
No.
No? You could tackle it. Do you think maybe like if me and your dad got together, we could tackle it?
No.
We're pretty strong though. Yeah, we. What if we had Mr. Johnny with us? Still no? Mm-hmm. Still no. Okay, it's the biggest. So God is describing, it sounds like a dinosaur, what God is describing to Job. Let me read it for you. Tell me if it sounds like a dinosaur. Okay, ready? It says, behold, behemoth, in verse 15 of chapter 40, he eats grass like an ox. Does that sound like a spinosaur? Does a spinosaur eat some grass?
No.
No, not really? Do any other big dinosaurs eat grass?
Uh-huh.
Okay. His strength is in his loins. His power is in the muscles of his belly. Does that sound like a strong dinosaur? Mm-hmm. He makes his tail stiff like a cedar. Like his tail is like a tree. Does that sound like a dinosaur? Mm-hmm. It kind of does, doesn't it? And he goes on and on and on, and he says, can you take him by the eyes? Can you pierce his nose with a snare? Like, do you think you could catch a Spinosaurus and make it your pet?
No.
Good. Thank you. Thank you, Strider. That was awesome. I appreciate it. Good job, Strider. And here's the point that he's making. Like, Job, you can't fathom what I'm doing here. I'm doing something so much bigger. You can't even handle parts of my creation. Like, let me just give you one example here of a huge animal. He doesn't say specifically what it is, but it sounds like a Spinosaur or what's another big dinosaur, Strider?
A T-Rex.
A T-Rex, right? And the next one, it talks about Leviathan. It sounds like this sea monster that's huge and has these scales and it breathes fire. And he's like, Job, do you think you could go fishing for a Leviathan? No. God says, listen, I want you to trust me in your hopelessness because I have created all of this, all right? So sometimes life doesn't make sense and God wants us to trust him in that because look at everything he's created. So when you feel hopeless, it's good to go to scripture and be reminded of truth. It is also good to go to nature and see the bigness of what God created. If you feel hopeless and helpless and life doesn't make sense, spend time in scripture, but also take a drive up to the mountains, okay? Or go out to the ocean or have one of those transcend or sit down and like look at some insects, right? God wants you to engage with his creation in order to help you trust him. And sometimes life doesn't make sense, either good or bad. The weird thing about Job is like he goes through all this and then all of a sudden he gets everything back at the end, right? The end of Job, he gets everything back and it's not a reward. It's not like I'm going to take this, I'm going to give you this. It doesn't make sense. And sometimes life is like that. I was reading a play by Arthur Miller. Bobby quoted Arthur Miller in a sermon a while back, and I had to go back and read some Arthur Miller. He has a play called The Man with All the Luck. And in The Man with All the Luck, there's this one character who he basically goes insane because everything always goes right for him. Like everything he does, it works out. He starts a business and it just booms. And he falls in love with a girl and she's in love with him and he has a family and everything's always going right. He takes a chance on an investment and it works out. And it drives him nuts because he keeps looking for something to go wrong. Like it can't continue like this. That's not fair. So his wife gets pregnant and he's just sure the baby's gonna die. He's just sure of it because Life has to be fair and life has to work out this way and it can't keep. And so normally we come to life and it's bad things that drive us nuts that makes it feel like it's like we're going to go crazy. But sometimes life doesn't make sense in either way. I was listening to on the way back from our camping trip, Soph was playing AJR and they have a song. What's it called? Is it Karma? Is it called Karma? And it's all about like I've been so good. I've been helpful and friendly. I've been so good. Why do I feel so empty? I've been so good. I've been so good this year. And it goes on and on. Like, I've done all this stuff. Why am I not feeling? Where is karma? And the end of the song is, should I be good? Should I be good this year? Right? Like it doesn't make sense. And so often life, it feels like it doesn't make sense. And one of the ways God wants us to engage with that is to go to creation, be reminded that we have a creator God who is powerful and in control, all right? But that by itself, God being big, sometimes it makes him feel kind of distant and scary, all right? It's one thing for you to have someone like a friend who's big and strong. It's another thing to have somebody who actually cares for you, right? You remember that if you've seen The Lord of the Rings, the Fellowship of the Ring, there's that scene where Bilbo has the ring at the very beginning and he's accusing Gandalf, like, you're just trying to take the ring. And what does Gandalf do? Gandalf, like, he rises up in power and like the lights flicker and like, do not, you know, what is it? Do not mistake me for some conjurer of tricks. And then all of a sudden he softens and it's like, I'm your friend. Right? And so there's that juxtaposition of like, here's this big, powerful wizard and he wants to show you how powerful he is. But then he softens and he says, remember, I love you. You're my friend. And so what God does, God is big and God demonstrates his power when we feel hopeless, but God is also little. Okay? God is little. God demonstrates his care when we feel scared. God demonstrates his care when we feel scared. All right, kiddos, can you say this with me? Ready? God demonstrates his care when we feel scared. Oh, that was terrible. Come on, guys. You can do better than that. Ready? God demonstrates his care when we feel scared. That was a little bit better. Do you think you can yell it? Ready? God demonstrates his care when we feel scared. Let's do it one more time. Say it really quiet. Everybody do the whisper. God demonstrates his care when we feel scared. All right, so there's this passage in Matthew chapter 10 where Jesus is sending out his disciples. And his disciples go out and he says, I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves. Okay? Is that normally a good idea to send sheep out to wolves? No. What happens to sheep when wolves are around? They die. What happens to a goat when he's put into the T-Rex pen? Does it work out well for the goat? He dies. He dies, right? And so Jesus sends them out. He says, I'm sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So be wise as serpents, as innocent as doves. And don't fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. And here's what he says. He says, I'm sending you out to do something really scary. All right, kiddos, have you ever had to do something that's pretty scary? Yes. What have you had to do that's scary? Anybody have a scary story for me? Anybody have to do something that they were scared of? Liv, what was something you were scared of?
When I went to Pirate's Cove, I went down a big slide and I almost drowned.
Oh, that is terrifying. So her parents sent her out onto a big slide as a sheep among wolves, right? That's great. Anybody else have a scary... Levi, what's something scary you had to do?
When I had pneumonia.
When you had pneumonia, was it scary going to the hospital? Yeah. What helped you when you were scared? Did anything help you when you're scared? Were you there all by yourself the whole time? No. Who was with you?
My mom.
Your mom was with you, right? So it helps when we have somebody go with us when we're scared, right? What else? A scary story. Do you have a scary story? All right. I want to hear your scary story.
When I went camping and then I was running away from a deer because it was chasing after me.
A deer, running away from a deer. Did it have antlers? It did? Oh man, okay, that is kind of scary, right? We went camping, we were looking for moose, and then it was like, well, do we really want to run into a moose here? Lily, what's your scary story? When you broke your arm, yeah, and having to go to the hospital and they had to set it and put a cast on it. Man, that's scary stuff. Bryce, you got a scary story?
When I was little, I had terrible earaches.
Oh, yeah, you had terrible earaches. And what do they have to do? Do they have to get lots of medicine? Yeah, that's scary. And so Jesus is sending his disciples out into really scary things. And he's saying, it's going to go really bad for you, by the way. You're going to be delivered over and some of you're pretty much all going to die. Okay? And he tells them, don't be afraid. And how do they know that Jesus is going to care for them? What does he say? He said, are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. Even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, you're of more value than many sparrows. Like, okay, which one is worth more, Elijah or a pigeon? Which one do you think is more valuable? Probably Elijah, right? His sisters are like, eh. Probably Elijah, right? So if it came down, like, let's, how many of you have a pet? Anybody have a pet? Who has the weirdest pet? Anybody have a weird pet? Ellie, what's your weird pet?
A hermit crab.
Oh yeah, Lige has this is a sore subject. One of his hermit crabs died. Let's take just a moment of silence. All right. And you know what? It was hard when his hermit crab died, right? And it was emotional when his hermit crab died because he cared for his hermit crabs, right? Ellie, do you care about your hermit crabs? You care for them? You take care of them? Do you give them food? Well, sometimes. Do your parents help you take care of them? Not really? Okay. But the idea is, imagine this really small animal that seems kind of like I think we bought it for a couple dollars on the boardwalk in Jersey, right? And it's not worth all that much, but all this care is, he's got a cage and he's got a home and he's got food and all of that. Like, God cares for the birds like that. Aren't you more valuable than birds? So you have this powerful Father who demonstrates his power in all of creation, who has laid the foundations, told the ocean where to stop. He's the one that put the cords of Orion, the belt of Orion there, and told it where to stay. And now he comes down and says, I know exactly how many hairs are on your head, and not a single one will fall unless I know about it, right? Like, God is transcendent both up and down. A lot of times we talk about the bigness and transcendence of God, and we think about this big, sovereign, powerful thing, but it's also the same in the other direction, that God is concerned about everything. Rob talked last week, God is concerned about what you eat. God is concerned that you enjoy your food. God gave you taste buds because he loves you. So God demonstrates his care when we feel scared. All right, kiddos, let's see if you can remember some of these. All right, you ready? Okay, God is big. So this is the one before. Do you think you remember? Take just a minute. Think about it. You think you got it? Here we go. God demonstrates his when we feel hopeless. God demonstrates, let's try it one more time. Ready? God demonstrates his when we feel hopeless. All right, good. God is powerful, and we can go out to nature and see, like my family, I've got all kinds of family in town right now from all over the world, like Italy, Australia, Rhode Island, just like everywhere. They're all in town. So a group of us went to the Rockies game, okay, last night. I took Soph with me. And here are thousands of people, and some of them very rich and powerful people, who have these plans to watch a baseball game at 6:10 p.m., right? What do you think happened to those plans? The storm rolls in, and right after the national anthem, you get this notice, everybody in the upper decks, please clear out. There is lightning in the area. And so we had to go down underneath, and then all of a sudden, there's hail inbound with this storm, so please find shelter. And so we were underneath for like 2 hours before we finally said, it's not worth it. But what happens? Like, we have our plans. We have powerful people. Those baseball players are millionaires. Those owners are billionaires. And they all wanted to play a game at a certain time. And all it took was one simple storm to say, your plans are left at naught. Right? God is powerful. But God is also little. Okay, so God demonstrates his power when we feel hopeless. All right, kiddos, let's see if you remember this one. God is little. Let's think about it for a second. Think about it. Okay, you got it. I'm going to look at my notes because I'm not super confident. Okay, here we go. Ready? God demonstrates his care when we feel. All right, let's do it one more time. God demonstrates his care when we feel. Awesome. You guys paid really good attention. I appreciate that. All right. All of this, we know God is big. He's powerful. God is little. He cares about us. And the primary way that he showed his care is by sending Jesus Christ to die on our behalf, right? And so one of the things that we get to do, we get to go back and take some bread, dip it in a cup, and use our taste buds that God created to be reminded of his goodness, okay? So what we're going to do, we're going to say our call to communion. We're going to go back. We're going to take the bread, dip it in the cup. We're going to be reminded that God is both big because he created our taste buds, and God is little because he cares about us tasting the bread and the wine and the juice and being reminded of what he did for us.